You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
This is Setting the Record Straight.
We are on the second week of this series called Setting the Record Straight, and it is building on each other, and I'll kind of catch you up if you were not here or were not able to watch online last week. But before we get into that, I want to do a little kind of a group quiz thing here, so maybe we can hit the house lights and I can get your involvement. In various movie series, trilogies, sagas, cinematic universi, I think that's the right word. Sure it is. Or TV series, and maybe John, back me down a little bit because apparently, yeah. Sorry, Kara. Where are you? I'm like Boomier. In various TV series and movies, there has been this thing that has happened, and some of these you're probably very aware of. Some of them maybe you're not. But in the middle of filming, or in the middle of recording the TV series, or from season to season, sometimes there's an issue with an actor. Perhaps it's a contract dispute. Perhaps they die. And so because of the way the series is built, they can't just, write that out. And that happens a lot of times. They'll write someone out, or somebody will randomly go off to college. Did you know that in Happy Days, because you all watch that, the very first season, Richie actually had an older brother. And he was in three episodes and then went off to college and they never talked about him again. So all of you that are graduating, just be prepared. We might never talk about you again. But sometimes that happens. But other times they just can't just get rid of the character. So they substitute or swap in a different actor and pretend like nothing ever happened. So I've got a bunch of them here. And what I want you to do, there's two things that we're going to do with this. I'm going to show you this pair of actors, and I want you to first of all tell me the name of the series that it comes from, and then for bonus points, tell me what the name of the character is, not the actor, but the character that was swapped out. So does that make sense? So first of all, you're going to give me the name of the movie. I'll ask for that, the movie series or television series, and then what's the name of the character that is played. So here's the first one. What's the movie series? Iron Man, right. Now, what's the name of the character? Rhodey, right. Rhodey, not the actor. Rhodey is the name of the character, yeah. And so, the first Iron Man movie, it was Terrence Howard there. And I can't talk about all these. It'll take too long. But then from the rest of the movies, it was Don Cheadle there. So, that's the first one, okay? You got what we're doing? So, the next one here. Tell me the series that it's from. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And what's the name of the character? Aunt Vivian. Yeah, I'm not sure if we're allowed to talk about this show, but here we are anyway. So she was swapped, and they just pretended like nothing ever happened. Changed the actress that played her. Okay, the next one here. Series. Dark Knight. Yeah, the Dark Knight trilogy. And the name of the character? Rachel. Right, yeah. So she was in the first movie. She was in the second movie. I'll just leave it there. For those of you who know the movie, you know why. Okay, in the Dark Knight trilogy, just nothing, no big deal. She just swapped a different actress. Okay, the next one here. Series? Anybody? Twilight. Yes, because that was one of my favorite shows of all time. Love it. Love vampires and werewolves falling in love or something like that. I don't even know what happens in them. What's the name of the character? I don't even know that either. Victoria. Okay, so they swapped Victoria for Victoria. That's all I can give you because I found it online, so it must be true. How about this one? This is going to be for your older generation here. Back to the Future, yes. And the character's name? Jennifer, right. Like, no big deal. What's really crazy is that the way this series works is that in the first movie, it ends with her and then picks up in the second movie with her in the same scene, but she looks very different. She looks like she should be, dating a karate kid. And see, that means they're older like me. All right, good. So, moving on, next one. Series?
Harry Potter.
And the character? And I could add another character. I could add Jude Law in here too, but that's technically not a substitution of a character because he's playing a younger version of Dumbledore there. But yeah, the guy on the left, Richard Chamberlain, died between the second and third movie, so they had to swap in the other guy. Michael Gambon? Yeah, okay. All right, now this one, this is for all of you in the house that are like, I'm tired of all these people, these young kids and all that. What's the series?
Bewitched.
Yes. What's the name of the character? Darren, yeah. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Bewitched, it was this show about in the TV, it was like in the 60s, and this lady like would wiggle her nose and it would go tingle, 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 and she could do like witch things or something. But what's crazy is that he is like the, like aside from her, he is the main character. And like between like season 2 and 3, just swapped him in like no big deal. You know, he kind of looks alike, and honestly, you might not even have known that. All right, and okay, here's another one. This is probably a little more common. The movie series? Hulk / Avengers, yes, yes. And what's the name of the character? Bruce Banner. Yeah, they swapped Ed Norton out. He was in the first one, and then Mark Ruffalo was in all of them after that. And then I have one more here, and this one, don't go here. This one, I'm like ahead of the cultural curve here. I'm ahead of the curve. All right, go ahead. What is the series? It is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and the name of the character?
Grindelwald,
yes, thank you. They did not know this ahead of time. That movie where they replaced Johnny Depp comes out this coming Friday. So he was swapped in. But in all of those movies, and just stay there, sorry, you're going to have to look at creepy Johnny Depp, which any picture of Johnny Depp is probably creepy. But except the 21 Jump Street days, you know, he had that more of a cool vibe. I'm sorry, guys, I'm old. Let me think of something contemporary. K-pop. Yay! Okay. BTS, that's a K-pop group. Okay, so what am I saying? Why am I not focusing here? It's the Hartleys. These movies and shows, they had a substitute that came in, and sometimes they were an upgrade, sometimes they weren't, sometimes, you know, no one really noticed. There have been other shows where there's a whole list of them, you can Google this. There have been other shows and movies where they swap someone out, and people were like, wow, that's the end of the series because they're just such a bad actor. And so all of these have been trying to replace something that was already there, trying to take the place to be a substitute. And in these, some of them were okay, some of them weren't great. They were definitely not perfect because Johnny Depp does not have a twin. And Ed Norton doesn't have a twin as far as I'm aware of. And so to swap someone exactly in, these substitutes weren't the exact thing. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you in school ever had a substitute teacher? Now, listen to me carefully. From an academic perspective, not from, oh, they let us get away with anything we wanted to. From an academic perspective, how many of you felt that your substitute was an improvement over your regular teacher? All right. So a couple of you have some substitutes. Most of the time, a substitute would just sit in there and be like, oh, I'm supposed to read this thing to you, and then you would throw paper airplanes. I guess it depended on your school situation. In my school situation, that was the way it was. But a substitute is never the same. And we're going to talk about substitution today. We're going to talk about substitutes and how Jesus was the substitute for us. Here's the point, and that is because of our sin, Jesus' record says that he was sinful. And this whole series, as I said last week, is in the big fancy church world, it's called soteriology. This is the study of our salvation or the study of our rescue. And we're walking through the how of each part of this process. And as we talked about last week, I had John come up front and I talked about, you know, if John had murdered me and tucked me into his trunk, he committed the crime. But if a jury, for whatever reason, and a judge would declare that he was innocent, he would walk free. Because it wasn't an issue of what he did, it was an issue of his record. And that's the truth for all of us. It's about our record. Now, if your record is clear, or if you're found innocent, or if your record is expunged, then you are free. You are clear, you are saved. On the flip side, if you murder someone and you're in, you know, the right or the wrong state, you know, that could lead to death, capital punishment. And so the idea is that the record is what matters. And last week we talked about, and we're going to review this in a little bit, but last week we talked about how our record says that as humans, we are all sinful. We are all sinners. All of us. You, me, everyone around you, everyone you know, everyone you don't know. We are all sinners because we are human, because of the genetic condition that we inherited from our parents. So it's your parents' fault that you're a sinner. So just make sure that they know that. But you're going to pass it on to your kids too. So, but the whole thing was that the record is what matters. And here's the deal. When it comes to God, God is just. God never, the scales don't tip in the wrong direction. He's always doing what is absolutely and perfectly just. You're never going to find a situation with God where we have found, of course, over years in our judicial system, where people are, you know, get off for a crime that everyone knows they committed because of a loophole, or on the opposite end of the scale, people are found guilty of something they never did. They were wrongfully accused. And so unlike those situations, God is perfectly, perfectly, completely just. And so we are sinners, and our record says we're sinful. And as we ended last week on that high, exciting note, because of your sin, because of my sin, we're going to hell. Have a good day. Like, that's how we ended the morning. We're going to hell. And that is an awful thing. That's just hopeless. That's terrible. And the thing is, it's because of our sin. But Jesus, specifically, well, God the Father sent his son Jesus because he wasn't happy with that ending. And, you know, if I were to swap for you and take your place, it wouldn't matter because I have the same guilt problem. I have the same genetic issue of sin. My record is just as sinful as yours. And God wasn't happy with that, so he sent Jesus to be our substitute. And so, and we're going to come back to this, but the point is that because of our sin, Jesus' record says that he was sinful. Now, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Just wait with me. And if your internet connection cuts out, go back to mc3church.org, click on listen to the point, and listen to it. Because it doesn't make sense right now, but it will. So I want to talk about the greatest substitute. First of all, and I guess I already reviewed this a little bit, but Jesus was the greatest substitute. He wasn't a lame substitute teacher. He wasn't an actor that kind of came in and was like, yeah, I didn't do a bad job. He was the perfect, best substitute. And it's because of our sin that all this happened. And that's what I already talked about. But here's the verse we ended with last week is Romans 6:23. Is that when you sin, the pay you get is death. So because of sin, because of our sin, we are going to die physically and spiritually. We are going to be forever separated from God in hell. And we did a whole series called Burn a number of years ago that you can find on our website at mc3church.org. And you can listen to, we talked about 4 weeks, was all about what is hell and how does it look and what does it mean and all of those things. And it's not great. And so because of that, so we have this sin problem. And so because of our sin, that leads us to something dying. Something's got to die for our sin. And so that's where we're going to get into this idea of substitution. So because of our sin, number one, next slide, there we go. Number one, we need a suitable substitute. So I'm going to slow down a little bit here because I want you to understand, like, this fits together for a reason. These pieces happen for a reason, and hopefully you're going to go, oh, I knew that and I knew that. I never realized that they fit together this way, hopefully. Because something needs to die for our sin, because something, included, whether it's us or something else. The Old Testament law, because something needs to die, it allowed for a way for something to die for sin. And that was the whole Old Testament system that was developed, that God put together for his people, for Israel. And it was about a sacrificial system. And we talked about the tabernacle and the temple. We actually talked about that during the speech series. And how this, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago for the Objects and Mirrors series. That things would die in the place of that human. So they would take their best animal and they would bring it to the tabernacle or the temple. And they would place their hands on that animal as symbolizing that this animal is taking my place. And then the high priest would kill that animal, or a priest would kill that animal, in place of that person, saying this animal died on your behalf, kind of taking away your sin, at least in a temporary way. But the problem was, an animal wasn't a good enough substitute. And you guys understand this. Like, I mean, if you go somewhere and somebody says, okay, your change is $35. Yeah, I did that math right. Yeah, so that would be a 20, a 10, and a 5, right? So what if they said, you know, I can give you these three bills, but I'm just going to give you five $1 bills, because five bills is way more than three bills. Is that correct? Is five more than three? I can handle this, right? Yes? Okay. But the value of those bills is very different, right? And you would be like, no, you owe me $35. I don't care if it's five $1 bills. I want $35. I want the value. I want it to be something that is an actual good substitute. And the animals weren't good. And in Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 1 to 4, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, under the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow. It was a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. And here's the deal. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. So it wasn't good enough. He says, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, they would have stopped. If it was good enough, they would have been done. But no, every year they would have to keep doing this. And the worshipers would have been purified once for all times. And their feelings of guilt, also known as their record, that's the same concept here, that their record would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. Why? Because it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The issue is that an animal is not a good enough substitute for us. And so we needed a better substitute. We needed a suitable substitute. And then over in, I'm not tracking right here. And then over in, where am I? Yeah, Philippians. So an animal wasn't good enough, so we needed a human. We needed someone that would take our place and be a good human-to-human swap. And so in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In other words, Jesus being the Son of God, but being completely man or completely God, he didn't say, you know what, I just want to hold my position. I want to stay here and be God and have everyone worship me. He didn't consider that something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his design privileges. There's a fancy word for this that's called kenosis, but basically means that he didn't stop being God. But he just limited his godlike ability. And we've talked about this before. It's the difference if, you know, you and I are throwing a ball, a softball together, and versus you throwing a softball with like a three-year-old. You have the same amount of power, but you're going to limit that power because you don't want to break their nose. So he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And then when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So Jesus, God says, like, this situation isn't good enough. And these animals aren't good enough. They are not solving the problem. And so we need a better substitute. And so Jesus said, I'm going to step in, human for human. I'm going to become a human being so that I can step in. And so the first part is that Jesus was a suitable substitute. Unlike the animals, unlike anything else, unlike even you and I, which we'll get to in a second, he was a suitable substitute. But that wasn't enough. Because I could substitute for you, and you could substitute for me. We're both human. And the problem with that is that if I take your place, and I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take your place, but I'm still guilty. I still have a record that says sinful. And because of that, guess what? We're still both going to hell. It's not good enough. So we also need a sufficient sacrifice. We need something that's going to die, that's actually going to make a difference, that's going to matter. And so here's an interesting thing. How many of you have celebrated Christmas? All right, some of you have not. Okay, all right. I'm interested to hear how that works. But at Christmas time, we sing songs about this woman. Her name was what? Mary, and she was considered a virgin. You can say a virgin. She was a virgin. We're like, oh, that's really cool. That's really neat. Jesus was born of a virgin. We can do round yawn things on this virgin. I don't even know what round yawn means, but we're round her yawning. and she's a virgin and makes great songs. And we know that, oh man, there was a prophecy in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus being born of a virgin. How cool that is! But it's way cooler. Because this idea of Jesus, if Jesus came and was born as a human being, if Jesus had a human mother and a human father, guess what Jesus would inherit? Sin. It's a genetic condition. We talked about it last week. You don't catch it, you pass it on. And so if Jesus was born of a male and female sperm and egg, sorry for being graphic here, but if he was born that way, he would inherit that same thing because sin is all the way genetic. It's in our DNA. It's part of who we are. And so Jesus couldn't be born like of a human father and mother. And that is what Matthew 1 is all about. And in Matthew 1, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah, or the Christ, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, just to be clear, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. She didn't become pregnant through anything else. She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Joseph's like, Mary, I know that you and I, didn't, and you have a baby. So, like, let's just quietly just get, I don't know what happened here, but I don't know where you were, Mary, or what the deal is, but I'm just going to politely kind of break off this engagement. But as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived, not by male and female human, but conceived by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, Jesus doesn't have a human mother or father. Mary's just a surrogate. She's just the carrier. She's just the one that is holding this baby. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save this people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill, next slide. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Here's the prophecy. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Sounds like a good song to sing. Which means God with us. God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. Meaning, this child was not of a human mother and father. And Joseph named him Jesus. So now this Jesus steps in the scene. He is not carrying this genetic condition. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is God in the flesh. And because he didn't have the genetic condition of sin, his record said that he didn't have sin, he also had the ability to not sin. And that's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you in your place as your substitute, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. And no deceit was found in his mouth. Because if Jesus was born of a virgin, if Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and didn't have the sin condition, but then chose to sin, his record would say sinful, just like Adam did. And we'll come back to that in a little bit if you weren't here. So, first of all, we need a suitable substitute. We need something that can take our place, that will actually work as a swap. As a human being. We also need a sufficient sacrifice. Because if someone's going to take our place and they are, if you and I take swap places, we still have the same record problem. We still have the same genetic sin condition. And so Jesus said, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to be a sinless person. And now if we substitute, it's a different story. And then that leads us to the last thing. And that is that we need a submissive Savior. So we've got the pieces in place, the suitable substitute, someone that can be a good, fair trade for us. We need someone that's not just a fair trade, but someone that if we trade, it's going to help us out. A sacrifice that is pure and sinless. But then those two pieces are there, but then we need God to say, okay, I'm willing to do this. And that's the beauty of the horror of hell. Like, I want us to, like, I think we often, like, oh, but why would a loving God send people to hell? And God, you know, oh, why would he create that? I wouldn't believe that God, like, no, God doesn't like that. Can we be clear about this? And we're going to do a whole series, Crop 2, starting next month, where we're going to look at, we did a Crop series years ago, where we're going to look at verses that people chop out of context and use against the church. And that's one of the things that people are like, oh, God wouldn't do that. Why would God love people and still send people to hell? No, we sent ourselves to hell, and God's like, that's not good enough. So he sent his own son to be that submissive Savior. Jesus said, I'm going to step in. I'm going to do what you can't because I love my creation. And so Jesus was willing to do that. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, that God made him, meaning Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. He didn't have sin, and he was willing to take our sin on him so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that part that's in white there, it's a spoiler. We'll come to that next week. But God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And over in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. So not only was Jesus a good substitute for us, not only was not a good an even trade, but also the fact that he was sinless gave us something of hope to take our sin, but he was willing to do it. And again, I think people, we like to pick and choose. We people, not necessarily in the church, but outside of the church, people like to pick and choose and pull out these pieces and say, oh, well, what kind of God would do that? What kind of God would do this? Would send his own son to die for us. So Jesus was the greatest substitute. We needed a suitable substitute. He was it. Perfect. He became human to take our place. We needed a sufficient sacrifice. We needed someone that was sinless. So not only did he become human, but he was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, not born of human parents. And we need a submissive Savior. God was willing to do it. Jesus came willingly and offered himself, taking our sin. And so, that's what we call substitution. So because of our sin, Jesus' record says that he was sinful. Levi and Chloe, could you guys come up onto the stage, please? Hey, Unks, what's your plans for the next couple of weeks? You can be around? Sundays? Yeah? All right, Luke, come on up here. Just Luke. Luke. All right, so you stand here. Go ahead right there, Chloe. And then you just hang out in the background for now. Right now you're a nobody, but wait, you get to be somebody. All right, so last week we talked about this, and we're going to review this whole thing. So Levi here represents Adam. Adam was born perfect, and there's a difference between our birth and our record. And Adam was born as a sinless human being. He was created. He wasn't technically born. He was created by God without sin in the Garden of Eden. Again, you can go and listen to last week about this. But the problem was that at some point there, he and Eve ate the fruit that was forbidden. And the moment that they bit that fruit, that he took that fruit, sin entered the world. And so now Adam's record says sinful. So now Adam has a problem because Adam is a sinner. And because of Adam's sin, he's going to hell. And so there is a sin issue. Now, Adam and Eve had children, and they were one of them was Cain. One was Abel. And that didn't go so well right off the bat. And so every descendant of Adam and Eve to now, to you and me, have inherited, and you're a descendant, you're humanity. Chloe represents humanity here. Inherited that sin condition. We were born as sinners. Not only were we born as sinners, but our record says that we're sinful as well. So this wonderful thing that Adam passed on to us, the word started with C. That's what we talked about last week. Does anyone remember what that word is?
Condemnation.
Is that what you said? Yeah, I heard them say that. They said, condemnation. Good. Condemnation. That we are all condemned because we are descendants of Adam. There is no way to get out of this unless you weren't a descendant of Adam. Get it? So everyone is a descendant of Adam, every human being. So then, God says, I'm not happy with this. Your destiny is hell. All of us, because our record says that we're sinful, we are going to hell. And so Jesus stepped in. You're Jesus.
Yay.
Yay, all right. I appreciate that Jesus enthusiasm there. And Jesus, as we said, wasn't a descendant of Adam and Eve. He wasn't part of that genetic line. And so Jesus was born sinless. He was born sinless. He had no sin nature. He did not inherit that genetic sin condition. And, as we said, Peter told us that Jesus, not only because he didn't have the sin condition, he also never sinned. So his record says sinless. So Jesus now is a suitable substitute and a sufficient sacrifice. Whoa, did you break my folder, man? So, Jesus was a suitable substitute and a sufficient sacrifice. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he was willing to take our sin. So, what he did was he took our record. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And this is what we call substitution. That Jesus took our place. We're not done. The story's not over. There's more to go. But that's where we're kind of ending at least the soteriology part of it. And so this is condemnation. This is substitution. And then next week we'll see what the next step is here. But that's what we're talking about. That Jesus, who was sinless, took our sin. And so humanity is grateful.
Yay.
I heard that. Yay. There we go. And so that's what we're talking about here. And so it's all about the record. And now, well, we'll have to come back to what our record says, because right now you don't even have a record. You don't even exist. What's going on? So, but that is exactly substitution. This is because of our sin, Jesus' record says that he was sinful. Get it? All right. Thank you very much, Jesus, humanity, and Adam. And we will see you next week. All right. So I just want to do, I just want to do a couple of quick just applications. What does this mean to us? What does this mean? Because I don't want us just to walk away going, oh, I know that. And again, the virgin birth matters. All these things matter. It's so important. Like, the Bible fits. God has a plan. God is just. And it makes sense. But I also want to say, what does this mean to us? First of all, it means a few things. Substitution means that, next slide. Substitution means a few things. First of all, we owe a response to Jesus. And owe is kind of a strong word, but I think it's true. And basically what we're getting at is that we can't earn our way to God's love. You know that. We said that. We can't be good enough because you're never going to be good enough. We talked last week about the baseball analogy that just one out means you can never get never bat 1,000 again, ever. And so we can't be good enough, and so Jesus did something for us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. What was that high price? That was sending his son to die for you. And today's daddies bring their boys to church today. Kyle came in and Matt brought Marcus in. And I would be willing to bet that neither of those daddies or any of the other dads in the room would give their sons for someone else. And when we talk about this, like, God bought you with a high price. It was the highest. He gave his son for you and for me. So you must honor God with your body. Honor God with what you do. We owe him this. He did this for us, so we should respond in that way. Over in Romans chapter 12, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It says, and so Paul writes to the church in Rome, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Why? because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So we look at when we do things, when we serve God, when we worship God, it shouldn't be because God expects me to do it. Or I'm going to do this because God will pay me back. Because it's like, you know, if I do this, I'll earn God's love. No, it should be a response. Jesus, thank you for offering your son for me. I want to worship. I want to gather. I want to come together. I want to learn. I want to grow. Not because I have to, but because I want to, because of what you have done for me. And so when we think about substitution, let's not get caught into this like, well, I guess I better set my alarm because tomorrow's Sunday. I'm going to have to go to stupid church. Dude, if that's your response, stay home, turn off the internet, and just have a heart-to-heart with God. And I know that sometimes, like, you know, discipline is like, no, I don't feel like it today, and we're going to go. I get that. But the overarching, the overall theme should be, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. What can I do for you next? What can I do for you now? What can I do for you tomorrow? How can I worship you more? How can I love you more? We owe Jesus a response. My question is, does your life reflect that? Does your life reflect the gratitude for what Jesus has done for you? The second thing, substitution means that we are representatives of Jesus. In the first part of the verse that we already looked at today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes it this way. He said, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself. I mean, he fixed the record problem. He fixed the situation. There was this break. We're destined for hell. We're separated. There's a guilt record there, a sinful record. And he reconciled. He fixed that relationship to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's what Jesus did. He was the substitute. So understand, too, that this was God's work. God did this. And then it says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God made us right with himself through Jesus. And now it's our job to share that message. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Like God is speaking through you when you tell others about what God did in your life. When you tell others about Jesus. When you invite people to come to church. And this isn't like, hey, use hashtag MC3 for Easter because we're a cool church. This isn't use that hashtag because we can get a bigger offering that Sunday. This is because people's lives are at stake. And they're going to hell. And they can sit at home and be happy because no one bothered them to talk to them about church. And you didn't have to feel a guilt trip about asking someone and maybe feeling uncomfortable. But they're going to hell. That's what this is about. This is about drawing people so they can hear the message of Jesus and celebrate that. Because you and I are Christ's ambassadors. He is making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Like we're the ambassadors. We represent Jesus. We have the message. We're the ones that have been changed. So let's tell people about it. Let's draw them to church. And if they have a church they already go to, that is wonderful. Encourage them in everything they can. But if they don't, come here. Go somewhere to hear the message of reconciliation of what Jesus did for us. And I would say to that, we actually, our Facebook page, maybe our Instagram page today, posted an invite. And you can simply forward that. Just as an opportunity to invite people. Why? Because we are ambassadors of Christ. So the third reason, the third response, the third thing we need to do because of substitution is that we need to realize that God's holy wrath was on Jesus. We already said God is perfect, God is just, God is holy. Like he doesn't do anything that isn't absolutely right. And the only absolute response was to send people to hell, was to send to put his wrath on humanity. But that wasn't good enough for him. And so that wrath belonged somewhere, so Jesus stepped in, took our place, and God's holy wrath was on Jesus. And I'm going to read a passage here in a second, and it's a passage you're probably familiar with if you've been to church. But in this passage, there's this moment where Jesus on the cross cries out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we're like, okay, that's cool. That's what he says when he's there, I guess. But it is because in that moment on the cross, as our substitute, Jesus had our sin on him. And his Father, who is holy and perfect and cannot be in the presence of sin without the sinner being instantly separated, had to turn his back on his own Son in the height of his anguish and misery while he was hanging on a cross. He didn't just die in our place. He took the full brunt of the wrath of God, of hell, in himself on that cross. Mark chapter 15, Mark records it this way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. Wait, he said, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last.
Long before the beginning of all other beginnings, God is. In a burst of creative activity, God creates the world and everything in it. Humans are designed to live inside of this unique relationship, but they choose otherwise. The law of God is broken, and the heart of God is pierced. But the story isn't over. In the fullness of time, God gives his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus comes to seek and save those who are lost. Wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. On the cross, God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathes his last. But the story isn't over.